O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Well, I've been waiting for a long time to get an invitation to sing. And then when I get it, you laugh about it. I got the message. I'm going to stick to preaching. Most preachers I know need to do the same thing. Well, enough runway. Open your, by the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. As you're finding your place in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here in this wonderful book we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful book. I'm going to read one verse from Hebrews chapter number 4, and that will be verse number 12, and I shall read it after we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for thy wonderful word, the power that's in the book. May we never take for granted those who gave their lives to copy it, to preserve it, to bring it to us in our own language. I pray you would give us wisdom and counsel and guidance and direction and information and illumination and inspiration from the scripture in this hour. Speak to every heart, meet every need. If there be those who are lost, may they come to know Christ. Those who are seeking a church home, may they discover it right here at Worth Baptist Church. For those who are weak, perhaps in their faith, or need strengthening, or need to come and make a commitment to you about your word, to read it more often, more diligently and prayerfully and carefully, I pray you would bring to each one of us what we need out of this message in this hour. In Jesus' name, I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 4 at verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There are 66 things in the Bible that the devil hates. Those same 66 things I love. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Oh, you got the message. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. How would you define the Bible? Suppose somebody, while you were flying 30,000 feet in the air and sitting next to you, said, "How do you find the Bible?" What would you say? I hope you have a good answer. There are those who think that the Bible is just another one of those mysterious books written by strange people, to strange people, about strange people, in a strange land far away. The Bible is more than that, my friend, and I know you discovered that a long time ago. The communists have their definition of the Bible, and here's the way it reads. The Bible is a collection of fantastic legends without scientific support, full of dark hints, historical mistakes, and contradictions. By the way, the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible contradicts those who read it with a mindset to doubt it. Sir Walter Scott wrote, "Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn." Our Christian definition of the Bible is as follows. The Bible is a library of divine truth written by God, interpreted by the Holy Spirit, and having as its subject matter Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus appears on every page, his autograph under his image, from Genesis through Revelation. Open the Bible, someone said, anywhere and it benefits. Read the Bible anywhere and it blesses. Cut the Bible anywhere and it bleeds. Little wonder that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 138 in verse 2, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." I admonish you, ladies and gentlemen, in these days of difficulties and heartaches and trials, when we have national problems and international problems and fears of attack from enemies, all the things that are going on within our government, in the religious world, the scientific world, the social world, the economic world, read it through. Somebody said, "Well, if I could just find a plan." Well, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. Read it through. Take it in. Write it down. Work it out and pass it on. Someone observed that a chapter a day will keep the devil away. By the way, do you know the reason some people don't read the Bible? Because it cramps their lifestyle. Then there are those who stop reading the Bible, rather, when it starts reading them. You all know that since the days of our Lord Jesus, this is not news to you, but we need to be reminded. There have been 70 million plus martyrs, most of them over this book, the Word of God. By the way, there were more martyrs in the 20th century than in the first 19 centuries combined. You know, I like the idea of supporting institutions and ministries that distribute, publish, and print and distribute the Word of God. Our church does that with several. Let me mention just one. Last fall, it was my privilege to preach at the 50th anniversary of the Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation, headed up by Bobby Lamont, a man that I knew when he was just a boy, because I knew his daddy, when that organization started right here in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church has been supporting that organization for every month for 50 years. Wow. Brother Amon reported in that meeting that over the last 50 years, they have printed, published, distributed over 40 million Bibles in 60 countries. That's getting the word to the ends of the earth, and I thank God for it. Many of you will remember that in 1991, our church raised in cash $100,000. Took only a few weeks to raise it. Want to try to do it again, Pastor? We raised that to have Bibles printed in the Russian language in Stockholm, Sweden, and they printed those, and several of us flew over, my wife and I, and Ron, and I don't remember who else, several members of our church, and then some outsiders went with us to distribute God's Word, 100,000 Bibles. They stood in line for bread, but they stood in line for the bread of life as well. I remember standing on Red Square, handing out the Bible to the soldiers who were guarding Lenin's tomb. What a joy, what a thrilling, exciting thing that was. We went into colleges, we went into high schools, we went into grade schools. They let us preach. There were three preachers in the group. We had one man that came from another part of the States, but who had a good friend in Russia, a man with whom he had made friends during World War II when the Russians were our allies. They became fast friends. They corresponded through the years. When our group was going, the man that was going with us learned that we were going to take these Bibles. He wrote his friend and told him we'd be there on a certain date and that we're going to bring a Bible to him if he'd meet us in a certain place. I'll never forget one cold winter October day when they walked into the lobby of the hotel where we were staying, a big burly Russian with a fur coat and a fur hat. And when our friend went to him and embraced him and then handed him a Bible, he clutched it to his breast and said, "I've always wanted a Bible all of my life." You know what that man did? He traveled 500 miles by foot, by rail, by bus, to get a copy of this book. And we throw it around like it wasn't anything. May God help us. I don't mean to worship the Bible. No, no, no. But we worship the God of the Bible, and this is his record. Amen. I read in the Voice of the Martyrs, a magazine, that no less than 400 people, Christians, are put to death every day somewhere in the world because of their faith in Jesus Christ. I remember on the Sunday service that we were there, three of us preachers preached that Sunday morning. I was the third of the three. They knew I'd be the long-winded, so they let me preach last. Hello. But when we were through preaching, the pastor of the church there, Brother Zinchenko, who was jailed at least twice for his stand for the gospel. He pulled out of his pocket one of these old-fashioned cloths, oil cloths we used to call them. Mother used to put on the table. You remember? Some of you old enough to remember that. You look like it anyway. He laid it down on the wet, damp, cold ground and gave the invitation with the microphone right down there on the ground. And 52 adults, one by one, came and professed their faith in Jesus Christ. That was worth the $100,000, wouldn't you say? Amen. And the trip and all the things that went with it. Well, the story must go on and the message must go on. I'm happy to say to you the Bible is not in the experimental stage tonight. It's been tried and proven. It's not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It's the book of the ages. Someone noted that a well-read Bible is the sign of a well-fed soul. And a Bible that's coming apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. John Greenleaf Whittier penned these words, "We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read." What a wonderful book. It is said about D.L. Moody, he simply quoted the Bible and let God speak for himself. Mr. Moody also said, "I know the Bible is inspired because it inspires me." Listen, my friend, the visions of Mohammed can't do that. Joseph Smith's dreams can't do that. The writings of Mary Baker Glover Eddy can't do that. Only the Word of God can inspire his readers. I want you to know I believe every word in this blessed old book. Every word between these covers, I believe, and I have great respect for the covers. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My only warrant is God's word. Naught else is worth believing. By the way, the word believe appears 485 times in the Bible, and feeling only 5 times. I'm basing my salvation not on my feeling, because honestly, now, you're not going to believe this, but sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. You ever have that feeling? Amen. Rest of you are lying a little bit, too. But I know that I am, not because of the way I feel, but because of what this book says. Amen. And the book tells it like it is. Amen. We know that we're saved. Well, that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. I want to give you the title of the message, The Power of God's Word. I want you to listen carefully. I note in the first place, and I just have about 40 of these, so you just sit back and relax. No, I'm kidding. Just about a dozen, and I'm not kidding. It has power to frame the universe. This universe of ours did not just happen. All of the planets, the moons, the sun, the billions of galaxies, the trillions and trillions and trillions of stars, they didn't just fall in place. There's a divine designer behind a divine design. And that designer is none other than Jehovah God. Amen. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, push the pause button right there for a second, would you? Not through philosophy, not through psychiatry, not through psychology, not through education, not through science, through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, more than one, how many worlds, who knows, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That word framed has a special meaning. It means to fit or to render complete. God completed it all. Someone observed that God completed his work in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and started taking complaints on the eighth. And we've kept him busy ever since. You know that Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt in the household of Pharaoh. The historians and scholars tell us that Moses no doubt attended the University of Egypt. And in the University of Egypt, in their creation course, this is what they taught. Once upon a time, there was this huge cosmic egg floating around in space. And when the temperature reached a certain degree, the egg cracked open and out fell creation. So when Moses sat down to write the story of creation, he wrote, "In the beginning, there was a huge In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." To create, you know, means to bring into existence out of nothing. And only God can do that. Let me give you his word on that. Isaiah 45 and verse 18 says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. Now listen, I am the Lord and there is none else." What is God saying to us? God is saying, nobody else could do that. And I did it through the power of my word. John Jay, the first justice of the United States Supreme Court, said, "The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the word of God, and it teaches us how to be happy in this world and the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts." I see in the next place, the word of God has a power to break like a hammer. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 9, God asked a question. Are you ready for this? God said, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Now, Jeremiah could see that day after day in Jerusalem, breaking up rocks with a hammer, with a hammer, with a hammer. And God says, "You know what? Just like that hammer breaks up those hard rocks in the earth, the hammer of my word breaks up the hard-hearted men and women all over the world, breaks their hearts, and it does. Yours has been broken. Mine has been broken. Multiplied millions of people have had their hearts broken by the hammer of God's eternal word." I see in the next place, the word of God has power to cut like a sword. You recall my text. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is alive. It's not a dead book. It's powerful, more powerful than the forces of man and nature combined. It's sharp, sharper than a Roman sword, and nothing was any sharper than a two-edged Roman sword. The Roman soldier went for the groin of his enemy because it could cut his very insides out. It was so sharp. That's the word of God. It is so sharp that it pierces and that it discerns what we're thinking. By the way, did you know the Bible knows what you're thinking about right now? Some of you think about, where am I going to go after church to get a hot dog? Do people eat hot dogs much anymore, Pastor? I do. I love them. Let's go get one. Pastor's already set us up one time today. I'm not going to ask him to do it with a big juicy steak. This is tube steak, the hot dog. You know what that is. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11. You know these verses. "For the rain, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither." I wish some of that had returned yesterday. We got 3 inches in our house. Last week we got 3 inches. Last year we got three tenths of an inch. but we've got a lot of rain. As the rain, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, aimless, purposeless, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this book, the Bible, is the only book on this planet that God has unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unequivocally committed himself to uphold, to defend, to honor, and to preserve. Psalm 12 in verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And it's still preserved in our generation. And if the world lasts another million years, it'll still be preserved by the power of God. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. I see in the next place that the Word of God has power to satisfy the hunger of the human heart. Is your heart hungry for something tonight? Listen to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah is saying, the word of God satisfied. By the way, the Bible is not dessert for the weekend. It's bread for daily consumption. Job wrote in his 23rd chapter, verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How much do you hunger for God's word? I admonish you to eat it, digest it, assimilate it into your spiritual being that you may grow thereby. Don't be stunted all your life. Don't stay in the kindergarten all your life in the scriptures. Get with it and study it every day of every week. Hide it in your heart. Meditate upon it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You want to be prosperous? You want to have good success? Meditate in God's word. Bread of heaven on thee we feed, for thy flesh is bread indeed. Ever let our souls be fed with this truth and living bread. Millions of people all over the world need to learn what Jesus said. By the way, some of them in Fort Worth, some of them in Worth Baptist Church, need to learn what Jesus said when he was tempted by Satan. Matthew 4:4, I'm quoting Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God, I see in the next place, has power to illuminate the darkness. We're living in a dark, dismal world. So many clouds are hanging over us. We wonder what's going to happen next in the Middle East with Iran and Iraq and those nations. I know we are prepared for war. We don't want to go to war. Somebody accuses the president of wanting to go to war. I don't believe that. I don't believe anybody's got good sense wants to go to war. Because war, somebody said, is hell. Let us be spared the war, dear God. But if it comes, let us be ready for it. A strong defense program. These liberals that want to cut down all the defense projects, may God have mercy on us. If they get in office, we're gone. You better pray for the right person. And you better vote for the right person. I know it's a long time, and you got a long time to pray about it. But vote for the right person and the right policies, the right things that will help America to be strong and to stay strong economically and politically and socially and religiously. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." The wise man wrote in Proverbs 6:23, "The commandment is a lamp and the law is a light." Let's hear what Jesus, the light of the world, said about it. In John 8:12, I'm quoting him. He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He is the living word. This is the written word. It's all about him. Again, you can open the Bible on any page and you'll find Jesus there. You don't have to look long to find something about the Lord Jesus. I hope tonight that we'll understand truly what the power of God's word is all about. I see again that the word of God has power to sanctify one's life. In his high priestly, mediatorial, intercessory prayer, by the way, only Jesus could pray the prayer that's written in John 17. Nobody else could pray that prayer. Only Jesus. And in verse 17, he prayed to his Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17 is one of the great chapters of the Bible. I'm going to recommend to you tonight that you read that chapter every day of your life. It'll make a difference in your life because it's the prayer of Jesus, the very words that he prayed to his Father. We ought to have a thirst and a hunger for those words. Read it every day. For many years, I've made it a policy to read John chapter 17 every day together with other passages. Read it. I see again that the Word of God has the power to cleanse from sin. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm quoting Jesus here again now. "Ye are clean," he said, "through the Word," John 15:3. "Ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken you." Now, you young men, listen up. All the young men in this auditorium, this is good for the old men too. But listen, you are addressed in the scripture, young men, listen. Psalm 119 at verse 9. "Wherewithal," at verse 9, "wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Mr. Moody said, "This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." Young men, pay attention to what God says. You don't have to listen to what I say, but what the Word of God says. I heard about the little boy who said to his mother, "Mother, I'm as tall as Goliath. I'm 9 feet tall." She said, "Why, son, what makes you think you're 9 feet tall?" He said, "Well, mother, I've made my own ruler. And by my ruler, I measure 9 feet tall." You know what? A lot of people have made their own ruler when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to lifestyle and deportment and living. Made your own ruler, measuring your... Listen, the only true measuring rod is the Word of God. Amen. Measure your life, your desires, your dreams, your aims, your aspirations, your desires, your thoughts. Measure everything by the Word of God. I see again that the Word of God has the power to burn the heart. You know, in Jeremiah, who's called the weeping prophet, it is said of Jeremiah that he had a mother's heart, a trembling voice, and weeping eyes. In the 20th chapter at verse 9, now you don't want to miss this. Jeremiah speaking. Remember, he'd been preaching to the people of Judea and Jerusalem for a long time. Most of them just let it go right by them. They went on their way, did their own thing. So he said, "Listen, I shall not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Push the pause button right there. I believe Jeremiah was saying, "Hey, this crowd's not listening to me. They're not paying any attention to what I'm saying. I've been preaching judgment for all these years. I've been telling them how the Babylonians were going to come under Nebuchadnezzar and destroy the city of Jerusalem and carry the people away into captivity, and they don't believe it. You don't believe a word I'm saying. You put me in a pit. You put me in prison. You tried to kill me. You said I was worthy of death. I quit. You ever feel that way, Pastor? No, you never. You're too young to feel that way. But if you live long enough, you might. So Jeremiah said, I'm just going to quit. But here it is. His word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I had to go back the next Sabbath day and preach again. I know they're not going to listen to it. They're not going to heed it. They're not going to obey it. But I'm going to preach it anyway because God said to Jeremiah, go down and stand in the gateway there and tell them as they come into church. Maybe we ought to do that, Pastor. Tell them what they're going to hear when they come into church. He did it. Finally, they dragged him off to Egypt. Tradition tells us they stoned him to death. The Jews, they carried him off into Egypt. But he lived the life of preaching the Word of God. I've been doing it now for more than 68 years, and I have no desire to quit. I'm gonna preach until I'm 100. Then I'm going to take another pastorate. Here's power, the last thing, to give hope to the hopeless. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, maybe in me, Jesus is the last hope for those who have lost hope. I like that, don't you? Jesus is the last hope for those who have lost hope. Psalm 130 in verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. About 70 years ago, I left my home in Danville, Virginia, to travel to Fort Worth, Texas. It was a small city then, maybe 100 or 2,000 people, Fort Worth. But the Bible Baptist Seminary was here. The First Baptist Church was here. J. Frank Norris was here. He took me under his wings. He employed Helen in his office. He taught us in the Bible Baptist Seminary. And he gave us a reason to be in Fort Worth. When I left home that day, my dear daddy, who preached the gospel for 40 years before he went home to be with the Lord, almost 60 years ago now, he put this Bible that I'm holding in my hand, he put this Bible in my hand, and inside it he had the secretary to type on a little pasted piece of paper, I recognize this book as God's holy word and promise to read a portion of it each day and live according to its teachings the best that I can. And I signed that Bible, Raymond Barber. And I promise you, for 70 years, this book has been my companion. We've traveled together, my Bible and I, in all kinds of weather, with smile or with sigh, in sunshine or shadow, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my psalm. We've traveled together, my Bible and I, when life had grown weary and even death was nigh. But all through the midst of darkness and wrong, I have found thee a solace, a prayer, and a song. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall isms or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shatter for substance or stone for good bread? Supplant thy sound wisdom, give folly instead? I know, my dear Bible, exponent of light, thou sword of the Spirit, put error to flight, and still through life's journey, until my last sigh, we will travel together, my Bible and I. Would you stand with us, please? Heads are bowed. Pastor's going to come and conclude the invitation, the services tonight. But I want to challenge you before the pastor comes. Please listen up carefully. I hope that every person in this room, are you listening? Will make a commitment that you will read more of the Bible and study more of the Bible than you've read and than you've studied since you've been a Christian. Start it tonight before you go to bed, before you lay your head on the pillow. Read. You don't have to read two books in the Bible or a book, maybe not even a chapter, but at least a few verses, and ask God to give you enlightenment, instruction from it. Father, I thank you for those who are going to make that commitment tonight. Some will come to the altar and make it commit the commitment to you on their knees, on their face, because they love your word and they want to read it. Bless the pastor now as he comes and give him what he needs in this hour to close out the invitation and the service in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
What a marvelous message on the Word of God we've heard tonight. It's the most powerful force in the world, and for so many people, it is unopened and unread. Has God spoken to your heart about your love for His Word tonight? Why not come and find a place at this altar and tell the Lord, I'm going to be a more faithful reader of your word. I'm going to commit it to memory like we've been challenged about tonight. Maybe we're reading it, maybe we're memorizing it, but maybe we're not living it. Oh, may God help us. It needs to be read and it needs to be heeded. It's the word of God that brings us to salvation. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're here tonight, you've never known that you were a sinner separated from God, but that God loved you and Jesus died for you. And you could have eternal life in heaven by turning from your sins and by faith receiving Jesus Christ. That's not a Baptist message, that's a Bible message, right from God's word to you. And we would invite you tonight, come and be saved. Many Christians are already doing their business with God. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a verse. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight, you be obedient to Him and you come. Brother Johnson.